chapter 3, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to read a few verses there. I forgot to mention, I was giving announcements that we've got a bunch of these little cards. There's a rack right by the door. This one says, "Smile, Jesus loves you." And on the back it tells why Jesus loves you. And there's a whole bunch of them. I know that you've enjoyed passing these out in the past, but the rack is there. It's full. Please take as many as you can use and use as many as you take, please. Don't use them for ballast in your purses or something like that. But please use those. Let me also ask you to pray for Mrs. Hansen. I stand up to preach and I look and she ought to be right there. But she's not. And she's struggling with some health things and other needs. And let me encourage you to drop her a note or give her a call or stop by and visit her. I know she'd really appreciate that. It's easy to feel kind of a little abandoned. You know, when you don't get out to church, you think that sometimes the church doesn't much care. But we know we love Mrs. Hansen and care for her. And she and her husband certainly have been just a huge part of this church for I don't know how many years. And we want to make sure that we remember her as she's going through some transitions right now. But please remember to do that. Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 22 and read down through the end of the chapter. Our topic is a child of God by faith. A child of God by faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Verse 25, "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Back in verse 26, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and thank you for your word. Thank you for the beautiful music, for the young ladies that have just sung. And Lord, we pray that you would still our hearts and minds now from the busyness of this weekend and responsibilities of the week to come. And we allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to our lives. Help us to be obedient to the Bible in the time we have now. In Jesus' name, amen. A child of God by faith. I'm sure you often heard someone say that, well, we're all God's children. That sounds really nice, doesn't it? We're all God's children. But they may sound good and make people feel better, but is every person on earth a child of God? My wife and I have four children. Our youngest, Susanna, is with us. She's flying back on Wednesday, right? On Wednesday back to Ontario. You know our oldest daughter, Susanna. Jason was here just last weekend, and was it last weekend or the week before? The week before. The weeks just kind of run together, don't they? And our daughter Sharon as well. What some of you don't know is that a number of years ago, my wife and I adopted a daughter. It was really legal custody. It wasn't a full adoption. But a little girl named Melissa Wenzel. She became our daughter, if you will, by faith. She was not our biological daughter. But we took her into our family. She became our daughter. We loved her, cared for her, encouraged her, sometimes had to discipline her. She was our daughter. And she was with us for five years. She was for 5 years. She's now married and to a Christian young man, and she lives in Southern Ontario, a little boy named Mikey. But she became our daughter by adoption, if you will. But nevertheless, she was our daughter. You see, Paul, in writing to the church at Galatia, deals with those who are children of God by adoption, because we are not naturally the children of God. See, the Bible's clear that all people are God's creation, but all are not God's children. God loves every person in the world. John 3:16, probably the most quoted verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." The person that has committed the most heinous crime in the world, God loves them as much as he loves you and me. God loves the world. We look, we hear things on the news, and oh my, some of the things going on in the world today. But God has love for each individual. Jesus Christ died for every individual in the world. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." Think about yourself. Think about how sometimes you don't even like yourself very much. But Jesus Christ loved you enough to go to the cross, to there allow himself to be crucified for you. Not for me, I mean, because he died for me too. But not just for me or not just for somebody else in this room, but for you. However, the Bible never refers to someone who's not been saved as God's child. You see, we become a child of God by faith. Now, verse 26 makes this clear. "For ye are all," and he's writing to the church at Galatia, he's writing to a group of saved people in the Galatian churches. He says, "But ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You know, we often somehow think that we can become a Christian by doing good works. We can become a Christian by being a good husband, a good father, a good mother, a good citizen. We can become a Christian by being benevolent and going out and doing charitable activities. There's nothing wrong with doing any of those things. But we don't become a Christian by what we do. We become a Christian by who we trust. You see, if I trust in myself and my good works to get me to heaven, you know what the Bible says about all my good works? It says they're like filthy rags. They just don't have much value. But if I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then through Jesus Christ, I'm trusting his righteousness, not my righteousness, for salvation. A child of God by faith. We're going to consider that topic. You will become a child of God through salvation. John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." As many as received him, a personal choice. I remember very clearly the day that Mrs. Holman and I went to court. No, she didn't do anything bad. Okay, don't worry about that. But we went to court to finalize our legal custody of Melissa. We went to court and we had to sign papers that making a legal agreement, a legal contract, that she was our daughter. Now, she was a minor, so she didn't sign the papers. It was kind of funny. She was in our Christian school we had there. I was the principal of the Christian school. And Melissa was a very active young lady. And Melissa spent a lot of time in my office. I was having long chats about her behavior. And I remember her grandma was passing away, and her grandma was her caretaker. And my wife and I told grandma that if she wanted, we would take Melissa into our home. And her grandma just laughed. She thought that was the funniest thing in the world, that Melissa would go live with her principal. Melissa didn't necessarily think it was all that funny. But see, salvation, you see, Melissa became our legal responsibility from the time we signed those papers. We had intent before that, but that didn't make it reality. We'd prayed about before that, but that didn't make it reality. What made it reality was the time that we entered that legal contract, that legal agreement. You see, salvation, a lot of people think that salvation is having good intentions. Some people think, and I've talked to people about receiving Jesus, you say, well, I receive Jesus every day. Well, no, that's not it. It's about that one point in time, and I've told you I was saved as a 7-year-old boy in Vacation Bible School. It's about that one point in time where you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not about a series of events. Not about an evolution or revolution in your life. Not about going through. I remember a former president of the United States asking about his salvation experience. He was walking through the woods and a feeling came over him. I think a tree fell on him, I think. But, you know, that's not it. It's trust as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? That believe on his name. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe not just that Jesus had a name, but believe in the works of Jesus Christ, because name talks about our works. So we become a child of God through salvation. And our relationship with God guarantees eternal life. There are few guarantees in this world, are they? We always say the only are guaranteed is death and taxes. There are many guarantees in life. In Luke chapter 20, verse 36, it says, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of resurrection. It says Christians, they will get to heaven and they'll be like the angels. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have wings and flutter around and all that. I don't want to be like an angel. That's a little different for me. But it says we will be like an angel, that we are an eternal, everlasting being in heaven. We're not now what we will be. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Paul writing to those he calls his beloved. He said, now, at this present time, we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, for we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, in Luke chapter 20, it says we'll be like the angels, but John goes on a little further than that. It says we're going to be like Jesus Christ. Why? Because we will be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you imagine that day when we see Jesus as he is? We see Jesus today through the pages of this book. We see Jesus sometimes in the lives of individuals. Sometimes we see portraits of people's concept of what they thought Jesus might look like. But all those things pale to that time when we will see in reality, in stark clarity of eternity, Jesus Christ and who he really is. We shall see him as he is. Our relationship guarantees eternal life. But a relationship as a child of God is evidenced by the Holy Spirit. See, God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. You say, Pastor, explain that to me. I don't know if I can. I don't know. Theologians have attempted through the millennia to explain the Trinity. They've all fallen short. But the Bible tells us that God is three persons, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. It's much like I am three persons, not even a fair comparison, but I am a husband, I am a father, I am a grandfather. I function three different ways, but I am one individual. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Holy Spirit of God. See, we saved, God comes and lives inside us. And the Holy Spirit of God, who is inside us, if you will, is a witness, testifying to the fact that we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Many people say, I don't know how many people over the years I've asked, if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Most of the answers are, I think so, I hope so, I've been a good person. But see, the Holy Spirit of God testifies in our heart. And there have been times that I've talked to complete strangers, and I've asked them that question, if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? And they say, yes, I am sure. And then I follow up, I said, well, I'm interested. I said, how do you know that for sure? They say, I know that for sure because sometimes they give me a date, sometimes a place. But they say, because I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know. And what is that? That's the Spirit of God testifying in our lives that we are the children of God. Romans 8 and verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Holy Spirit of God is in our lives. The Holy Spirit testifies. The Holy Spirit evidences to us. This isn't something necessarily seen on the outside, but evidence to us. You know, we should be glad when we're convicted of sin. Because when we sin and all of a sudden we get this, and I don't like feelings, but this empty or sinking feeling, knowing that we've done something wrong, maybe nobody knows about it except us and God. And we have to go to God and say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry, I sinned. Help me not to do that again. That's the Holy Spirit of God testifying in our lives that we are a child. You see, as I said, Ms. Holman and I have four children, adopted the fifth, and we disciplined our children. We didn't discipline other people's children. Do you ever want to discipline other people's children? Oh my. I don't know where. Sometimes I say, do you ever do that, say things and you think that, I wish I could pull those words back. I was in a grocery store and this poor mother had this child. This child was having a screaming, hissy fit. You've seen it happen. And I so wanted to help her. I didn't. But forgive me for this. I did say, ma'am, there is a cure for that. I shouldn't have said that. I guess it kind of turned her focus away from her girl to me. I guess that maybe was it. But see, we don't discipline other people's children. We're a child of God. We are disciplined. Another word for that is discipled, by the way. Discipled, taught by the Spirit of God. Then it's evidence that we're a child of God. If we can go on and we can continually sin and do wrong and not be convicted about it and not be concerned about it, then we should look at our lives and say, you know what, am I really saved? You know, our relationship as a child of God is evidenced by love for God and love for others. It's evidenced by love for God and love for others. John, 1 John 4:7, of course, we always think of 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter. But I think really if we look at it, 1 John chapter 4 has a lot more specific teaching about love. But 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Let us love one another. Scripture also says, "By this all shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love is self-sacrificial giving. Love is giving yourself totally to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. And our relationship with Jesus Christ is evidenced by the fact that we can have love for the unlovely. We can love someone who does nothing for us, who can do nothing for us in return. We can have love for someone who sometimes is antagonistic toward us. We still can love that individual. Everyone that loveth, notice, is born of God. Everyone that has true love, for the evidence of having Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is that we become less selfish, if you will, in our love. And we can say, I not only love those who like me and compliment me and think I'm wonderful, but I can love someone. And by the way, love is a choice and love is an action. It's not just a feeling. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Loveth him that begat. Love Jesus Christ. Do we ever stop and think, as Christians, I love Jesus Christ, and because I love him, I will not be involved in this activity, whatever it might be? Or I love Jesus Christ, and because I love him, I will be involved in this because I know this pleases him. You see, if we really love someone, we want to do things that please them. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. A lot of great verses there in First John. Our relationship gives us power to overcome the world. Our relationship as a Christian. Notice where 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now this isn't talking about us antagonistically attacking the world, but being able to overcome the world in our lives. See, we have three great enemies as Christians: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil usually doesn't have to mess with us because we get in enough trouble with the world and the flesh. Understand that? But this is the victory that overcometh the world, the influence of the world in our lives, even our faith. We become a child of God. We love Jesus Christ. We have faith in Jesus Christ. And we live in a world where things bombard us constantly. And we can walk in faith and love for Jesus Christ because we are his child. Our relationship gives us power to overcome the world. Our relationship also gives us power to refuse to commit sin. You think of Adam and Eve in the garden. One rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst thereof. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We often look at Adam and Eve and we say, how could they? They had paradise on earth. They had everything. One tree out of the thousands in the garden. One tree. There are all kinds of other fruit-bearing trees there that gave them everything that they wanted. Everything pleasant to them was already there. But just one tree. How could they? But you know what? If I said, you can be in this room, you can do anything you want in this room, but this little stand right here, got a drawer in it. See that? See that drawer? Don't open the drawer. That's the only rule. Do anything else you want. Don't open the drawer. When I first put them up here, I put them with the drawers to the back so people didn't wonder what was inside the drawers. Don't open the drawer. What do we think? What's the first thing? Why doesn't Pastor Homer want us to open the drawer? What's in the drawer? Just one. Well, you know what? I guarantee you most of us left alone in this room would open that drawer. So don't be so hard on Adam and Eve, okay? But understand,
1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not,
But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. That doesn't mean we never sin. The thought there, it doesn't, that a saved one doesn't, person doesn't continually, habitually commit sin. Understand that. But because of our relationship, whosoever is born of God, we can have the victory over sin because we are a saved individual. An unsaved individual cannot have, oh, they can choose to do something good and they can choose to do something lesser bad, I guess. But an unsaved individual doesn't have the Spirit of God, doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life that will confirm and it will say to them, you know, what's in that drawer is not important. It's more important that you love me and obey me than what's in the drawer of that little stand. Gives us power to refuse to commit sin. Our last thought. Our relationship lets us be a light to the world. Philippians 2:15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Shine as lights in the world. Christ said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, our relationship with a child of God lets us be a light in a dark world. You can ask almost anybody you want today and say, ask, are things getting worse or better in the world? And they'll say they're getting worse. I know very few people would say things are actually getting better. But we as Christians have the great privilege, the great responsibility, as we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, to be a light in a dark, dark world. To let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify God. Not glorify us, not think that we're something special. But glorify your Father, which is in heaven. A child of God by faith. You see, that's the only way we become a child of God. You see, Melissa became our child by putting her faith in us that we would love her and care for her and provide for her. It was a step of faith on her part. We become a child of God by trusting Him as our personal Savior. But God commended, I told you this verse, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says in Romans chapter 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Down in verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, salvation is not about a religious experience. It's not about being baptized or confirmed or taking communion or any of those things. People have been saved in churches, in their homes, in cars, in boats, on the streets, out in the woods. It's really insignificant, the location. What is significant is the event. The day that we come to know, we admit, I am a sinner, lost, and without Christ. I have no hope of heaven in myself. That's what the Bible says. That's not this preacher talking. That's what the Bible says. And I today ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. He's already paid for all of my sins. I now accept that gift of salvation that He's already paid for. I remember as a little boy, I don't remember the exact words, but I remember sitting in my seat back there, three or four rows back and three or four seats in, praying and saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I knew that. My mother made sure I knew that. I'm a sinner. Jesus, I ask you today to forgive my sins and save me and make me ready for heaven. And that day, as a seven-year-old boy, I was saved. It wasn't a progress. It wasn't a religious experience. It was a personal choice in my life. To trust Jesus as my Savior. Just bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Their heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking.